Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's get right to it. So, the markets are volatile. This just in, the markets are volatile. So let me tell you that now more than ever, right? The nice cliche to start with. Now more than ever, it's a good thing to be thinking about your finances. And also, if you're in the stock market, to be mindful of whether you should be there or not. And if you are there, are you there for the long term? Do you have the staying power? Are you where you should be? We're going to talk about it. But we're going to talk about it from a little different perspective. We're bringing in one of our favorite guests, and he's quite the hired gun when it comes to talking about the psychology of money. Art Markman, PhD, and he is the professor of psychology at Markman University of Texas in Austin. He is the Annabel Worsham Centennial Professor, and I always give him a little bit of a hard time because that's a mouthful, but he's got a lot to say, so that seems appropriate. So hold right there, and we'll welcome Art back to the program. He's written the book Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others, and you can go to smartthinkingbook.com to get more information. And very excited and very conveniently glad to bring Art back. Art, welcome to the program.
Oh, David, it's great to be back.
I'm wound up. Glad to have you.
Yeah. What a week.
Yeah, well, listen, hey, the thing that's interesting about the markets, and of course this discussion you and I can have about it, is what we're going to say in the next few minutes, Art, is always applicable. It doesn't matter if the market's up 1,000 points, down 1,000, which depending on the height of the Dow or the S&P 500 might be a couple of percent or might be, you know, 5 or 10%. And it's very easy in the moment to get freaked out, but you know what? The markets have always been uncertain.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, as you were pointing out right in your open there, being in the market is all about long-term thinking. You don't jump in the market because you want to make money tomorrow. You want to make money tomorrow, go sell lemonade on the street corner, you know. And so the problem with that is that human beings, we're not wired for long-term thinking. We're wired for short-term thinking because we have to react in the moment. And so we need to really fight against our nature in order to do things whose benefit is primarily in the long term, like being in the stock market.
Yeah, and that what's interesting about that, you use the word wiring, and we're talking about actual genetic or organic wiring. And you know, I was thinking as you were describing that we're just not wired for that long term. If we go back to our distant ancestors, you know, long term thinking was maybe thinking about putting some crops in the ground, some seeds along with a fish to grow for maybe in a few months that we'd have a harvest that we could eat and not be dependent just on what we caught that day.
Yeah, yeah. Retirement savings was not really something that our hunter-gatherer forebears were really that concerned about.
I'll bet they would really laugh if they could see us now that we're, you know, we're having to contemplate the devaluation of the Chinese yuan or drones in the sky or monetary quantitative easing, these abstract concepts, and good grief. I mean, and so what's really interesting is, though, in these moments, though, when we see the markets gyrate, and again, gyration, it's a celebrated event by the media because it gives them something, Lord help them, something to talk about for instead of trying to, you know, talk about some rusting of a bridge downtown, they've actually got something interesting to talk about.
Well, you know, part of it is also most of what the market does on a daily basis when the market's in its normal mode, and we've talked about this before, you know, most of what you see up 50 points, down 50 points, it's a fraction of a percent. And so most of that is random variation day to day. And you can see the trend over the long term. But, of course, we've hired all these reporters who need to get something out every single day. And for some of the financial networks, not only every single day, but every minute of every day. And it would be really boring to tune into those newscasts and hear, well, the market was up again today on random variation. So days like today, where the market has dropped significantly, actually give everybody something to do because there probably is something to be explained about these big corrections. And so, you know, we definitely pay a lot of attention to them. But the fact is that while we pay a lot of attention because they are they're very salient, there's a lot of information in there, that doesn't necessarily mean that we should be acting on those things right now. And I think that there's a tendency to forget in the either when the market does something like what it's doing today, where it's dropping significantly, or for that matter, when the market takes a big hike, you know, we think, well, we've got to do something about that right now. And that's really just not the way that we can afford to act. We have to really have a much longer term plan. And that's hard for us to do.
Well, I tell you what, it's so interesting, Art, the way you describe that, because I'm thinking to the framework we establish about our hunter-gatherer ancestors, and, you know, I'm not getting into a religious versus science debate here. I'm just speaking to what seems to be, to me, the way our minds are constructed, and I know you can speak to a lot of this on a more specific and a scientific or medical basis, but, you know, what occurs to me is if we have a bear show up at our little camp in the wilderness, you know, there's going to be an immediate and very strong response to that. And the risk here is that people respond, you know, not to make too much of a pun of it, but respond to what they think is a bear market brewing or brewing. And they really, I'm sorry, it just goes on and on. But the point is that people need to be very careful about that, because to react to the day's event, especially when you and there are lots of explanations for why this happens, but what people have to be clear about is if you're in the market, you've got to be willing to be there for a while, because you can have random events and you can also have very specific things, but like that bear in the wilderness, it can be upon you before you know it, and you then are in a big world of hurt trying to respond to that. And that's where people make big mistakes and say, well, golly, I can't afford to lose anymore. I've got to get out. And the problem is, if somebody's thinking that way, they probably shouldn't have been in the market to the degree to which they were to begin with.
Yeah. And I like the way you frame that. So if you think about a bear happening upon your campsite, well, that's a danger for you in the moment. And we are wired to deal with dangers in the moment.
Yeah.
We get our sympathetic nervous system, where we get the fight or flight response, you know, and the old story about the guy laces up his sneakers, and when the bear comes to the campsite and his friend says, you can't outrun a bear. He said, I don't have to outrun a bear. I got to outrun you.
Right.
But you know, we need people to recognize that, you know, if you're in danger in the moment, then that system is really great for helping you to deal with that. But, you know, when people get involved in anything that they're doing for the long term, whether it's education or financial investment, that long-term strategy needs to hold. You need to be willing specifically to tolerate a certain amount of loss in the moment if you're going to invest in the long term. And if you're not willing to do that constitutionally, if you can't accept those kinds of losses, well, then there are other investments for you, and you should recognize that your level of what they call risk tolerance is just not up to the prospect that you might, you know, over this quarter or even this calendar year lose some money. But recognizing that if you're working with someone who's helping you to get the right kind of advice, that you're going to make your money in the long term. We can't afford to react with that sympathetic nervous system in the moment.
Because
what you do is you lock down all the losses in the short term rather than riding that out and recognizing it's that long-term trend that you're really hoping for.
I mean, Art, there's so much here. You know, number one, I've had people that felt that way and couldn't stomach, and I saw historically where they had shared with me their previous investments and what they've done, and they've been in and out of the market at the wrong times. I said, guess what? You do not belong in the stock market. We are not all wired the same way, thank God. And we do different things based on our own personal circumstances that are appropriate. And so I helped her move her money out of the market, the gyrations and stress, and her making, unfortunately, it was really the work with the broker at the time she was working with, there was just bad moves. I said, you need to be out of this. And we went into something much more secure, and it worked for her, and she's got no stress about it. Now,
yeah.
The other thing about this, which is really, you talked about people how they view this. And one of the things that sometimes people ask, in fact, I shouldn't say sometimes, it's asked every day probably in this country, why do the wealthy get wealthier and why do people get burned and, you know, the house is stacked against me? And what everybody needs to remember is whenever there's a major market action, and I'm not even talking about one because, you know, the market it historically has been off far greater. You know, back in October of 1987, we had Black Monday and the market was off 22-some% in one day. So this most recent period historically is not even, you know, not even anywhere ranking close to some of the major drops we had in the recent period. But here's what's really interesting, Art, is that big money, institutional money, the world-class investors, the people, the big pension plans, all those folks, they buy when the market does this, because nobody should ever forget that for everybody who is trying to sell and causing the value of stocks to go down by wanting more and more people wanting to sell, there is always somebody on the opposite end of that transaction saying, excellent, good opportunity. I'll be glad to take that off your hands at a nice discount.
Yeah, yeah. I actually, you mentioned the panic back in 87, and I actually remember talking with an old family friend who had the benefit of being wealthy, and I happened to have a phone call with him that day, and he said, I can't talk for long because they're selling America today, and I'm buying. And I think you're exactly right. You know, if you're in a position where you can tolerate some of that risk and really can take that long-term view, you know, the market is a zero-sum game. Everybody who sells,
exactly,
there's somebody buying on the other side of that.
That's right.
And we, you know, and so those people who can accumulate at when things are low and wait it out until things go back up, they are going to make money. But that's the issue. It's a long-term planning phase. And we're really bad at long-term planning. We want things right now. You know, not only are we bad at that kind of planning, but we often make decisions on the basis of the way things are right now. To take it out of the market for a second, people are more likely to buy a car that's fuel efficient when gas prices are high than when they're low, even though they may fluctuate, you know, $1 a gallon over a six-month period.
Yeah.
So if you're going to own that car for 7 years, why are you focused on what gas prices are today as opposed to projecting what they're going to be over the 7 years you're going to own that car? But that's a very hard calculation for us to accept. We really live in the environment that we're in right now.
Amen to that. And they may even spend an extra $10,000 to save all that money on gas.
Yeah.
All right. Quick break. Love it. Art Markman, PhD, is our guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, the book is Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others. And, of course, a lot of smart stuff in the book about this kind of thinking we're discussing with Art. SmartThinkingBook.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your financial portfolio prepared for such a correction? What about inflation? What's your plan when that gallon of milk or gallon of gasoline costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has all the answers to questions like these and practical steps to help you hedge against these negative events. Call 671-PLAN. Or visit PlanStronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland.
And we are back. Art Markman, PhD, on the line with us, and he and I are wrestling for words today because there's so much to say here. Lots of good stuff said in Art's book, Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create a New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others, SmartThinkingBook.com. Glad to have Art back. Welcome back, Art.
Great to be here.
All right, I gave you a chance to breathe there. We're on the commercial break. Listen, you and I are both passionate about this. Obviously, we're kind of coming at it from two different angles, but many days I feel like I'm channeling the Art, because, you know, just met with a couple of folks here, and I'm like, look, you guys got to get out of your own way, because it's so easy for us to get in our own way of where we need to be with our finances. And you know, we aren't often faced with that bear walking into our camp, as we described before the break, Art, but we now have these abstract bears that walk into our financial or retirement camp and make a mess of things. And you know, it really hits people where they live. And, you know, it's just very it's very interesting how all these things can affect us. And I want to go back to something about people realizing that they have to be in it for a period of time. You know, I generally advise people that if they're within a few years of needing money, they really can't take the risk that we could go through a downward period. And I'm not talking just about a couple percent. We could have a 10%, which is a measure of a correction, or 20% is a bear market. And these things are not that rare. We just have gotten spoiled, so to speak, in recent times with there being a longer stretch of these, a longer bull market. These things do happen. It's just where our memories are so short when it comes to that. And so the thing I often do, Art, and I'd love for you to kind of put a nice psychological wrapper around this, is what I tell people, look, if you had $50,000 or $100,000 or whatever is a significant amount of money to you for your financial perspective, if you had that in cash and you know you need it in 6 months or a year and 2 years, would you go throw it in the market just to let it cook there for a little while and then come back and get it in 6 months or a year or 2 years when you need it? And the answer, of course, most of the time is no, I wouldn't. But that's what people are doing by being in the market when they know they need the money in a couple of years now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's right. And of course, part of the problem is we are so strongly affected by short-term trends on things. So, you know, if you pick up the newspaper as people did, or watch the news over the last couple of years, and on a day-by-day basis, you're seeing the markets up, the markets up, the markets up. Well, you know, you begin to get lulled into that sense that that's just the way things are. And then you begin to wonder, well, why am I getting a fraction of a percent return on money that's sitting in a savings account when I could be getting 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 or more percent back? But we don't think about the risk because everything's been fine the last several months, you know. And I think one of the things that I've talked about, you know, back in 2007 during the financial collapse, we had I teach here at the University of Texas. We did a session for students at the university because they were worried about what was happening in the market. And a bunch of economists were talking about the economic outlook, and I was there to provide the psychology perspective. And what I told the students was, look, things are never as bad as they seem when things are bad, and they're never as good as they seem when things are good. You know, we have to recognize that economics has a cycle to it. There are going to be up periods and down periods. As long as we're doing some of the things that are fundamentally sound, then we will grow over time. But there's no guarantee of that, of course. But historically, at least, we've grown over time. But that time period could be 5 years, not a year. And so you have to look at what you're doing and say, is this something I can live without for the next 5 years? In the hope that 5 years or 10 years from now, I will have more resources that will allow me to do something that I really want to do. Mm-hmm. And by the way, both pieces of that equation are important psychologically. So am I willing to take this money and put it so far away that it's out of mind, so I'm not thinking about it? And is there something I really need to do with this at the other end of it where I'm willing to tolerate that kind of risk in order to be able to achieve this kind of long-term goal? I know people who have everything that they want in life. Well, you know what? If you have everything you want and everything you need, you know, taking a risk to get more just for the sake of having right. more may not right. be for you.
That's exactly right. Well, and you know, as you were describing that, you know, that you've got to be willing to let these things mature and be there for the long term, you know, and there's an investment there that you have to be willing to let things put the energy into it on the front end, or make the dollars, those dollars get invested, and then you let them, you know, grow, and then they are harvested at some point in the future. And it made me think of the, again, back to our hunter-gatherer, you know, they took the time when they started doing crops and things like that to have that longer term opportunity to make life a little easier and harvest in the future, but they didn't turn their spears into plows. They kept the spears because they would need to defend what they have, but also if those crops didn't work out, they're going to have to go hunt. So, you know, the real key here is that very few people should go all in on the market. They should have a lot of other things as part of their overall plan, because what's ironic about that, Art, in my experience, and I'm sure you can put a psychological label on this, that when people have cash that they need to cover whatever liquidity needs they might have, when they have money that's safe and secure, that's not in the market, when the market does what the market does, which we've seen recently, then their reaction can be very, very different than the person who has to check the market every day or multiple times a day because they've got all of their assets and financial resources there. They're much more likely to react to the events of the day than the person that is got a different framework because of the ways they've invested. And I think people really should take opportunities when the market does behave oddly or differently than expected to rethink all that.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. I think that anyone who thinks that they're likely to beat the market for the short term has to recognize how much, you know, we talked about random variation earlier. One of the things that human beings are worst at is reasoning about randomness. And we've talked about people going to casinos and trying to, you know, on a previous show, we talked about people trying to figure out the patterns in the roulette wheel. Now, it seems amusing when it's a roulette wheel. You know, why would anybody look for patterns?
Right.
But frankly, why are you looking for patterns in the stock market?
That's right.
And if you get lulled into thinking that there's something happening on a day-by-day basis, you're kind of missing the point of what the stock market is designed to do. It's a market that is designed to make good predictions about what the real economy is going to look like sometime
in the future. Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, you have to be willing to play that longer game because the future trends aren't clear on a day-by-day basis. They're clear on a weekly or monthly basis. And if you can't, if your resources don't allow you to have a certain amount of money that has that kind of time scale on it, then you should be playing a different game.
Amen to that. Well put. Art Markman, ladies and gentlemen, PhD. The book is Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others. It's always those others that need some new habits. We'll work on them. SmartThinkingBook.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. No cost or obligation. Or visit PlanStronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back. Art Markman, PhD, University of Texas in Austin. Glad to have him back on the program. He's the author of Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others. And that's available over at smartthinkingbook.com. And back to the analogy, which I love the analogy of the casino, Art, because it's got such a convenient analogy and useful in when we look at the markets and how they behave. And you spoke to, you know, kind of looking at how things have been doing and how the market's been performing and getting lulled into a certain expectation because of the recent market behavior. It'd be a lot like sitting down at the table and then the next 15 or 20 spins of the wheel are on black, keeps hitting black, and you've been waiting. In fact, maybe even you've been betting, and you just keep winning, and you're like, man, this is great. And then finally, you let your money keep stacking up, you let it ride, and then all of a sudden, this weird thing happens. It's red.
Yeah. And what do you do? Holy cow, the world suddenly changed on me.
Yeah.
And then of course you start trying to explain that. You get upset. You react emotionally to that. You know, that's when it's really helpful to have other people around you to help. You know, I think the reason, you know, if you think about it like this, most of us don't spend every single day checking out the condition of our car, checking out the condition of our house every single day, checking out the condition of the trees around our house. You know, we sort of trust that we have people who are helping us to maintain a lot of the things around us, and we will trust them what the right maintenance schedule is. And then when it comes to money, we get ourselves involved sometimes in things where we aren't necessarily equipped with the right theories to tell us what to do.
Right.
And that's where we have to be equally trusting of the advisors that we hire.
Right.
And be willing to recognize that they are going to work with us to help us to figure out what's the right maintenance schedule for our investments. Are we, you know, should I be thinking about this every day? No.
Please don't. You know, please don't.
Maybe every 6 months, maybe right. every year, you know, but that's the time scale over which we can really afford to do things. And, you know, I guarantee every financial advisor is going to get a whole series of phone calls today about what's happened in the market. But really, you know, this correction can't be a surprise. You know, most advisors have been saying we're due for something like this. It's going to happen. So they have been giving advice over the last 6 months to a year, taking into account that at some point the market is likely to correct itself in exactly this way.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing that may frustrate people, but here's the reality. The good job of a good advisor, number one, is to protect the client from themselves. And number two, my job is to do the exact same thing, whether the market's going up or going down, is to make sure you have good funds, that you're diversified enough, that you've got the right overall risk level to be prepared for such events as corrections, or dare I even say a 20% drop, which would be a bear market. And these are all the things that go into what you talked about, Art, which is trusting somebody to advise you. That doesn't mean you trust blindly. You sure as heck get a lot of due diligence on the front end, pick who you're going to work with, and then let them guide you, because you can't be looking at it every day. You'll drive yourself crazy. Art, I tell you what, you and I are out of time again. We'll have you back. Art Markman, PhD, ladies and gentlemen. The book is Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others, smartthinkingbook.com. Thank you very much, Dr. Art Markman.
Thanks, David. As always, a pleasure to talk to you.
Same to you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.